Hello everyone, welcome to this exciting session. We will now look at compliance management holistically. What do the different standards, the different compliance techniques, the procedures mean, and how it relates to business objectives, giving higher amount of visibility and control to IT to monitor, manage, maintain, and thereby implement a robust IT plan to ensure that the business objectives are met. So in today's discussion, we will look at the compliance management, the big picture, as I just spoke about. We will look at auditing and assessment, what is the perspective. We will look at compliance management. Now, this is a vast topic, and we'll break it up into many subtopics as we proceed. We will then look at steps for implementation of compliance systems, ethics, compliance, and we'll wrap it up. So, compliance management, the big picture. Compliance encompasses various areas such as information and information system security, data protection, IT systems, IT system management, healthcare insurance, portability, financial reporting, quality assurance, process assessment, risk management, protecting critical infrastructure, and intellectual property rights. So, as you can see, this is a vast topic, right from the information systems to information hardware, software, the financial reporting, the compliance, the standards, the quality assurance, the risk management frameworks, and how do you protect critical infrastructure. So it's a huge topic by itself, and numerous laws, acts, standards, regulations, methodologies, frameworks, guidelines govern compliance in different industries. So some of the examples include say ISO IEC 12207 for the software lifecycle processes, 25010, the ISO 25010, which is software product quality assurance, ISO 9001 for quality management system for manufacturing companies. We looked at software product quality requirements and evaluation, that is the SQUARE methodology. We looked at ISO 15504, that is software process improvement and capability determination, or the SPICE framework, and more importantly the wider one about ISO 27001, which is information security management systems. So as you can see, there are multiple standards, and we saw most of the standards in the previous classes. If you've been following with me, we looked at even the IT Act of 2000, which spoke about how data is protected, critical assets are protected, BCP, etc., etc. And we had a look at some of the acts, so the ISO standards, the one that you see on the screens. So these standards are developed and published by various certification bodies and institutions, both national and international, with ISO alone publishing thousands of international standards covering various and diverse subjects. As you can see, so ISO 27001 is deals with information security, 27017 deals with data protection when data is transferred in the cloud. We spoke about ISO 9000, which is quality management systems for manufacturing companies, and so on. So this particular body, the international standards body, publishes various standards, and it's prudent for organizations to follow them so as to have the right processes aligned with the business objectives, So the end outcome, the product that is finally delivered to the customer, is as per the standard. Organizations face the challenge of managing multiple compliance requirements while ensuring their systems are consistent, sustainable, and continually improving and maintaining business operations. Mere compliance is insufficient to address strategic and regulatory challenges, right? So impeccable execution and continual improvement in operational efficiency are imperative. We've seen that compliance is not just a one-time activity, it's a continual activity, and it requires a lot of operational efficiency, focus from the top management, employee awareness, and effort from everyone in the organization to ensure that the compliances are properly met. A paradigm shift in thinking is necessary to drive standardization initiatives and achieving organization goals. Concepts like borderless, speed, and stretch can facilitate mental shifts in individual levels, tending to behavioral changes and tangible business outcomes. This approach was exemplified by Jack Welch's leadership at GE, which is known for adoption of Six Sigma, emphasizing a process-oriented thinking and a commitment to finding better solutions. So we looked at Six Sigma, the different approaches that it took, the standardized approach, and how it causes a shift in thinking, which leads to better standardization initiatives. Let us look at the auditing and the assessment perspective. So, auditing, assessment, or certification bodies play a crucial role in ensuring IT compliance within organizations. These bodies conduct both the internal and external audits to verify the compliance with the prevailing laws, standards, and regulations. Auditors, trained specialists, assess compliance against specific standards and are empowered by auditor charter, which is approved by senior management. So, distinct from financial audits, so information technology audit, it focuses on evaluating internal control design and effectiveness within the IT systems. Now, just like you have a financial audit, you also have a IT systems audit. Now, this IT systems audit is aimed at checking the efficiency of the internal processes, if the relevant processes are properly implemented or not, how effective are those processes, and it would include various topics, right, from say infrastructure audits to security audits to process audits, and so on. So areas accessed include security controls, development practices, so are the best practices followed when we talk about software development, IT governance, data protection, so if data is in compliance with the IT Act of 2000, data localization, data encryption in motion, encryption at rest, different security controls like data classification, etc. Risk management and interdepartmental coordination. These form a part of the internal IT audits. Now, audit is a planned and a documented activity conducted by qualified individuals to determine the adequacy and compliance of established process. Also, an important point to note is typically in organization, an audit committee is separate from the IT department, and I'm talking specifically for the IT audits. This is because an internal auditor, when he audits or he or she audits the system, they would give an unbiased view, because someone who has made the system, who is working on the system, would be biased in terms of giving a judgment, right? And hence, following the maker-checker concept, generally, an auditor is a third party who is not connected with the business, so as to give an unbiased opinion about the internal audit. Certification involves an assessment conducted by an independent auditor, that's what we said, or an audit team to evaluate an organization's implementation of a particular standard. So if an organization is undergoing certification for ISO, say ISO audit, then ISO has certain approving authorities, certain partners who are designated to conduct those audits. Similarly, if an organization is conducting a security audit, say a VAPT, that is a vulnerability assessment and penetration testing, it's another kind of audit, but then there are separate organizations who indulge into the VAPTs, right? So the point is, certification involves assessment by a third party auditor who gives a unbiased view of the internal systems. And specifically for the ISO audits, these are approving authorities. Assessment results in the identification of positive compliances, maybe certain non-compliances, and it could also mean opportunities for improvement. Successful completion of the assessment leads to issuance of a certificate by the certification body. Typically, a third party bases the auditor's report. So, if there is a ISO 27001 audit happen, then the organization gets a certificate saying that the security checks and measures were found to be adequate, and the organization is certified with ISO 27001, for example, right? Then there will also be a statement of applicability, which says that this particular audit included things like blah, 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 and the statement of purpose is so and so. And that's how a certificate of audit is issued. Certification involves an assessment conducted by an independent auditor, as we said, or an audit team to evaluate the organization's implementation of a standard, say ISO 27001 or 9001. The assessment results in identifying of positive compliances, non-compliances, and opportunities for improvement, as we said. Successful completion leads to the issuance of the certificate basis on the reports. While audit, certification, and assessment, so these are three different terms involved. While an audit is a more formal in nature, where you would have an internal audit or external audit, a certification is adherence to a particular standard. So if there is a ISO 27001, which has a rule book saying that there are five things to be checked before issuing a certificate. So that is a process that is followed for certification. While an audit would generally look at all the procedures, the processes that an organization has to adhere to. And assessment is also assessment of the different standards, assessment of different procedures, processes that are followed. Sometimes they are interchangeably used, but the goal or the end objective is to comply with the regulation and the standards. Auditors play a crucial role in assessing an organization's compliance and identifying areas for improvement. A successful audit adds value by correcting errors, stimulating improvements, measuring accomplishments, and sustaining compliance, with auditors focusing on understanding the organization's broader context rather than solely operational details. Process audits scrutinize resources such as equipment, material, personnel involved in converting inputs into outputs. So audits, as it suggests, it's not only on the equipment or the process, but sometimes also on the people. So say for example, if a particular functionality requires, just an example, say if an organization wants to have certain cloud certifications, so then there has to be certain number of personnel having the cloud certification in place. Hence, the personnel audit also takes place. These audits assess the environments. So environments including the physical, the virtual, the hardware, the software, the methods, that is the procedures, the instructions, and the measures collected to evaluate the process performance. Process audits evaluate the adequacy and effectiveness of process controls established by the procedures, work instructions, flowcharts, trainings, and process certifications. Auditors examine whether the plan to do check act, that is PDCA, cycle is present or not, ensuring that the processes can be controlled effectively, whether or not written processes are in place. So basically they would want to know whether an organization is conforming to the standards. If not, then maybe a NC, that is a non-confirmation, can be issued so that the organization can work upon it. But the whole idea is to examine whether the plan, do, check and act, if that cycle is present or not. Auditors seek evidence indicating that organization has the effective controls in place to address the compliance requirements with no design deficiencies. They assess whether the organization consistently applies the controls if there were no operational deficiencies in the implementation. Auditors also look for evidences of the implemented processes that show a focus on the process improvement as part of the organizational operational activities. Auditors also note ineffective control programs, what are the deficiencies, and highlight those deficiencies in their reports. Prepare conformance reports if the deficiencies are found across multiple areas. So the output of the auditor's report is either a confirmation or a non-confirmation. So if a NC, popularly as it is referred in the organization, so if a particular department receives a NC, then it's obviously alarming, but then also it's a case where the process has to be improved. The audit process involves several steps, so we'll look at it. Risk assessment discussion, the kickoff meeting with the key organization stakeholders and the auditors, identification of areas, projects, business units, functions to be audited. So first, the plan is to look at what is the scope of the audit. Auditors then, after the audit has taken place, so auditors then classify the non-conformities, as I said, popularly known as NCs, as major or minor. Now, say if there is a minor tweak in the process, then it could be a minor NC depending upon the severity and the impact. Say for example, minor non-conformity might be unauthorized changes to the document, or a document getting changed but the right version number not maintained. So these would be termed under minor non-confirmation. So say missing training records. So these would be termed under minor NCs. Major NCs would be, say, issuing purchase orders without any approvals, without a proper purchase indent in place, a proper business case in place. Now, this depends from organization to organization, because in my opinion, when a purchase order gets released, since there is a financial implication, and again, this would mean that, say, a purchase order worth a certain amount of money, if it gets released without a proper purchase intent or business approval, then it could lead to a major NC. A purchase order, say, of, say, maybe a couple of hundred rupees might not really matter, correct? So it depends upon how the audit standards are set, what is the impact that the non-conformability has on the overall organization. So that depends upon what is the impact, and then how the non-conformability is translated. Major non-conformities indicate a breakdown in the quality management or a failure to address key standard requirements. So assume that a hardware procurement order was sent to a vendor worth rupees, say 50 crores, right? Now, this is a big non-conformity, because a order worth such a high amount, it has to be approved in the board, or if this was done without proper vendor assessment or getting competitive quotes, etc., this might lead to financial losses as well. Hence, such can be classified under non-conformities and major non-conformities. Auditors may provide observations or opportunities for improvement, popularly called as OFSI, to help strengthen existing practices and share the best practices. The main objective of the audit is to assess the procedural adherence, ensuring conformity with standards, and discover methods for quality improvements. Professional behavior, domain knowledge, and audit skills are essential for the auditors to conduct these effective audits. So, like I said, if someone is conducting a IT systems audit, then the person has to understand and have the right amount of skill sets before conducting the IT audit. Say if the person is auditing the firewall rules, so these are technical in nature. So what to permit, what to deny. So the person has to have the right amount of skill sets before conducting these audits. Auditees should also be prepared with the right relevant data points, documents, and proofs for review during the audits, demonstrating compliance with the standards. The audit process should foster a positive rapport between the auditors and the auditees. Now, although this is the ideal state, generally the auditees feel threatened, saying that my whole credibility is at stake if there is a NC that is received. However, the idea is to improve. The idea is to develop better standards which demonstrate compliance, so that the organization reputation and business is not at stake. Compliance is facilitated by having a robust policy and control framework in place, supported by evidence-based practices. Effective communication, collaboration, and commitment to improvement are the key to any audit outcome. We'll now look at compliance management, entire holistic systems approach. A well-designed compliance management program requires a systems approach involving various functions within the organization. Now, as we said, compliance is not just the role of a single person in the compliance department, but the entire organization needs to be involved in the compliance process. So, right from having the right kind of mindset of the top management to the mid management and the low management, everyone has to be involved in a compliance process. The organization must be capable to perform the functions effectively. and we'll look at all these functions. So the first is establishing the policies and procedures aligned with the certification requirements, implementing the standardized processes, controls across projects and operations, training employees on compliance requirements and the processes, monitoring and measuring the compliance performance, conducting internal audits to assess the adherence to the standards, identifying areas of improvements, implementing corrective and preventive actions to address non-compliance issues, and last, continually improving compliance process based on feedback and lessons learned. So as you can see, compliance management is a very vast area which involves the entire organization. So what we'll do is we'll spend time to understand each of these topics, and then we'll delve deep into each of these topics, highlighting maybe say 4 or 5 points about each topic. So we'll start with the first. Policy goals and procedure management. So policy goals and procedure management are crucial for ensuring compliance with the organization. Clear vision, direction, goal setting from the top management are essential for the success of compliance initiatives. So we said that if an organization has to be compliant with standards, then it has to come from top down. And hence, the clear vision, direction from the top management is absolutely essential when driving these compliance initiatives. Policies define who, what elements of the compliance, while the procedures and the standards define the how, right? So who would do it and what would they do it define the element of compliance, while how it has to be done is more of a process. Policy creation requires inputs from the business stakeholders to identify, say, the applicable controls, prioritizing them and measuring the results. So say a small example, right? We spoke about role-based access controls in organization. Now, imagine an organization, the data team in an organization, maybe there are say 50 resources, but do all those 50 resources need access to some of the important data? The answer might be no, right? Hence, there should be a security access policy in place where certain resource, depending upon their need, have right to access that particular data. So that is a policy creation of this policy would need inputs from the business stakeholders, right? So that the business stakeholders can identify the users with what kind of levels of access and permissions do they need to that kind of data. Developing a formal document management system is crucial for managing the life cycle of the policies, because these policies keep on updating. So you would have the different versions. So versioning of the policies and a document management system is crucial. Documenting corrective action is also essential, including specifying what, by whom, and within what time frame. So it has to be measurable, achievable, realistic, time bound. Remediation occurs within the particular time frame and it is effective. The policies and process management, it must be regularly updated to align with the changing business rules and regulations, such as those related to, say, disaster recovery or financial fraud. The creation, review, and approval of the release of the policy documents and SOPs are the responsibility of the top management. We'll now look at the design of standards. Now, the regulatory landscape constantly evolves. Now, we all know that, right? Take the example of a banking system where RBI might come up with some new regulation, but in the interest of the citizens to protect the data with some a new encryption algorithm. So the regulatory framework keeps on evolving. Hence, organizations need to adapt to the new rules and the new regulations regularly. Organizations are expected to conform to multiple compliance standards simultaneously, which could be challenging for them to manage. Compliance verification is typically performed against standardized manuals within the organization, incorporating various standards and frameworks. Organizations may employ specialized personnel or teams dedicated to compliance management to streamline the process and ensure adherence to all the relevant standards. Automation and technology solutions can also help organization manage compliance more efficiently by centralizing data, automating certain processes, providing real-time monitoring, and reporting capabilities. Implementing all standards simultaneously would lead to chaos within the organization. Hence, gradual implementation is necessary with updates to the organization standards, and hence the need for a document management system where the standards are updated regularly and the document is kept updated. Standard manuals as frameworks and processes are incrementally introduced. Now, since we all understand that organizations need to comply to multiple standards simultaneously, but gradual implementation with focus from the management, prioritizing which standards need to be implemented first is something that is required. Plus, a special task force also has to be created, and we'll talk about that in the subsequent slides as well. In a large IT organization, successful implementation of ISO or CEI CMM leads to improvement in delivery models, product quality, and productivity. Six Sigma methods, Ishikawa, Fishbone diagrams are utilized to identify and address gaps in billing customers for the work done. Automation plays a key role in linking the HR systems with project monitoring systems to ensure timely billing. Now, this is really important since multiple people work simultaneously on the systems. The billing systems also have to be updated so that the timely billing of the resources happen to the projects. Despite the challenges of multiple standards at the same time, a well-designed approach minimizes the burden on individuals by streamlining the compliance activities. The second important topic here is resource and budget management. People, we all know, are the key crucial resources in compliance management. Cost associated with compliance initiatives include various elements like, say, the internal resources, external consultants, equipments, etc. Appointing a compliance champion within the organization is preferable over external consultants. Now, it's a thin gap, so you could set up specialized compliance committees within the organization, which would then be the SPOC or the spearheading committee for that particular compliance organization, or you could also look at certain external agencies. Now, it's to choose between the two, but when you have internal compliance teams, they are better empowered to speak to the internal stakeholders as compared to the external compliance officers. Management must also provide adequate resources and budgets to support the compliance initiatives. Now, needless to say, if there are multiple compliance standards getting looked at simultaneously, multiple people getting engaged, hence a sponsorship from the top level is absolutely mandatory. Resource requirements for compliance management fluctuates and poses significant challenges for budgeting. Defining roles, responsibilities, and establishing accountability are essential for successful compliance. Now, as an organization, if they've taken a step to, say, get themselves certified under ISO 9001, now to get certified under 9001, they have to develop or create certain compliance teams. Creating those teams also requires the roles, the responsibilities, and more importantly, budgets, right? And the top management has to be made out, has to have that kind of sponsorship, because if it's a focus area for the organization, the necessary resource allocation in terms of people as well as budgets have to be made. Sustainable practices and processes is crucial for long-term success, and a pragmatic approach is necessary for implementation.